Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you are doing well today. We'd like to give a quick shout out to Clear Brook, Virginia.
All right.
Yes, we're so thankful to have you listening. We really appreciate it. You can check us out at graceintheshadows.org. You can text or call 251-244-4645, or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadows.org.
Yeah.
All right.
I got some for you.
Okay. Of course you do.
What happens when a doctor gets frustrated?
I have no idea.
They lose their patience.
Oh, my word.
Got another one. Ready?
Okay.
Why did the coach go to the bank?
I don't know why.
To get his quarterback.
Okay. Moving on. This right. day in history.
Okay.
Today is April the 17th, 2024. And on this day in 1790, Benjamin Franklin died in Philadelphia.
Wowzers.
Yes. In 1937, Daffy Duck made his debut. You
wow.
like Daffy Duck?
I like Daffy.
Yeah, old Daffy. And in 1970, the Apollo 13 astronaut safely splashed down after a near disastrous flight.
That was a close call.
That definitely was a close call. All right. So what's our topic today?
Well, we're going to be talking about God's, you know, Jesus showing himself to be God
okay.
through healing.
Oh, that sounds good. All right, let's do it.
Showing his deity.
Yes.
Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12, but we'll start with 1 through 4.
Okay. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on.
All right, so this is immediately after, not long after, Jesus healed a demon-possessed man.
Okay.
And his fame, his popularity went throughout the Galilee, around that area. And it was at this point that many people really wanted to find out more about this teacher.
Okay.
And so Jesus's main purpose was not to go and heal.
Right.
Jesus's main purpose was to preach the word.
Mm-hmm.
And when people started getting into like a more of a circus type of, you know, feed me more, give me healing,
right.
give me this world stuff.
Yeah.
He would often kind of stray away and go somewhere to isolate.
Right.
But they would always, most of the time, find him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah. So
when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered a roof. So Jesus goes into a house.
Okay.
And in this house in Capernaum, he another crowd comes.
Okay.
You know, Jesus was popular.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. The houses in the Middle East at this time were made out of clay, dirt, mud, what have you. So
okay.
when they uncovered this roof,
right.
as they went up there, they brought the paralyzed friend with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was kind of unusual. Jesus is down there preaching the word.
Right.
He's probably going through Genesis 3:15 about the, you know, the seed that would be born from the woman that crushed
right.
the serpent's head.
Yeah.
He probably went through Isaiah 53, probably went to Psalm 22.
Right.
He probably went through other passages
yeah.
talking about how, pointing to him, how he was coming to forgive people of sin and through dying on the cross.
Yes.
So these men showed great faith.
Mm-hmm.
as they carry this young man.
Right.
And they dig through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? You're saying Jesus standing down there preaching, and all of a sudden probably things start hitting him from the roof above him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's down there, and the people were pressing against Jesus.
Yeah, a lot of people in that house.
And this was not the type of roof, like I said, that we usually have.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that wouldn't work with our roof. Oh, well.
And so they lower their friend. And now, these were some friends here.
Right, right.
That really cared about their friend that was paralyzed.
Obviously, yeah.
Paralegic. Mm-hmm. Paralytic. And so when they had broken through, they led the bed down of the paralytic it was lying in.
Wow.
So go ahead and read 5-7, if you would.
Okay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?"
Now, Jesus saw their faith. You know, there is a heretical, I call it the word faith.
Right.
It's a heretical Christian cult, and they're not Christian.
Right.
There may be Christians within it, but they're cultic.
Right.
And so they say you have faith in faith, that faith is a force, and that it relies on the person. And if you're paralyzed or sick, it's your own fault because you don't have enough faith.
Yeah, I hate hearing things like that. It's very bad.
But here Jesus saw their faith. He didn't see the paralyzed man's faith.
No.
He saw the friend's faith.
Right.
And the friends acted on their faith because they brought their friend that was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. They dug through the roof. And that had to be kind of difficult.
Well, I mean, seriously, they wanted to get their friend to him so badly that they were willing to dig a hole in the roof and then lower him down. I mean, that's pretty powerful.
Do you remember when we had that Christmas Samaritan's purse?
Where
I preached on the roof and I preached this message.
You did. Yeah. You sure did. Yeah. You had made that challenge that if the church collected a certain number of boxes, you would preach from the roof, and the news team even came.
They did.
It was hilarious. Yeah.
Anyhow, I don't know where that came from.
Well,
it just
okay.
kind of
hit.
But Jesus saw their faith.
Right. He did.
And, you know, they had enough faith to put him down there, knowing that they couldn't get him back up, most likely.
Right.
I mean, that would have been hard getting him down. Can you imagine trying to pull him up?
Oh, no. No, definitely not.
And so Jesus said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you."
Right.
And so you can imagine how his buddies on the roof were feeling.
Oh, I'm sure they were just like flabbergasted, shocked. Yeah.
Jesus knew that this man's real need was more than just physical.
Oh, yes. He saw to the heart of the person and the people.
I mean, if Jesus would have healed this man and he would have just jumped up and sprinted and did a backflip.
Yeah.
But did not have his sins forgiven, he would have just walked himself into hell.
Right. You're right. You're right.
And so Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you."
Mm-hmm.
And some of the scribes, which were kind of like lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those scribbles.
There they are.
They reason in their hearts. Now, they're don't reason in your hearts.
Right, right.
Now, there's nothing wrong with reason.
No,
there's nothing wrong with logic.
Nothing at all.
Thinking.
Correct.
But they say it in their hearts, "Why does this man blaspheme like this? For who can forgive sins but God alone?"
Yeah, they were shocked that he was forgiving somebody's sin because they're like, "Who does he think he is?"
But, you know, there's two things here they weren't wrong about.
Right.
They weren't wrong to test the teacher.
No, they weren't.
To make sure he was sound.
Right.
They weren't wrong with their analysis, who can forgive sin but God alone.
Correct.
They didn't know that they were attesting to the deity of Christ.
No, they did not.
What they were wrong with is that they rejected him.
Very true. Very true. Yeah.
They knew this, but rejected him anyhow.
Yeah. Not smart.
Go ahead and read through 8-12.
"Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' So he said to the man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
So Jesus knew in his spirit.
Yes.
He discerned in his spirit what they were thinking.
Right. Yeah.
Now, this had to make the scribes check their drawers.
Well, I'm sure, because they're thinking this, and all of a sudden he's saying what they're thinking. They're like, what on earth?
Because only God can read minds.
That's right. That's
and know
right.
the heart.
Yes.
Now, was this Jesus's divine nature or human nature? I mean, his divine nature, he's God. He perceives.
Right.
His human nature, his spiritual gift of discernment, word of wisdom,
yeah,
what have you.
Yeah, but still, he was reading their minds. So I think it's a little bit of both, really.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Yeah, equally. Yeah. Which is easier? Why did he say that? Which is easier, to forgive sin or to tell this man to get up and walk?
Well, I think he was really wanting them to look in to see who he really was, which they didn't really, but he wanted them to realize that he was the Son of God.
I mean, healing him is great, but...
Right.
Could they have really realized, could they have really known
right.
that Jesus forgave their sin with something kind of invisible, you can't see,
right?
Without an affirmation or authentication of a miracle showing Jesus was telling the truth?
It had to be both, and they had to see that he was who he said he was, that he was telling the truth, and that he did have the ability, one, to forgive sins, and two, to heal the man.
So when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," he dotted the I, the exclamation point, so to speak, by healing this man, and he got up. And, you know, not only was it a miracle that he healed him, it was a miracle that he did not need physical therapy.
That is very true. He just hopped up and ran off.
Yeah, he just hopped off and took off running.
Yeah, took off running. Mm.
And so, you know, but the real miracle here is greater than this.
Absolutely.
The real miracle is that Jesus forgave this man's sin.
Right.
And the real miracle today is that God forgives our sins today.
Amen. We don't deserve it. We do not deserve it, but he does.
You know, the Jews back then were similar to a lot of the word faith, name it, claim it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sick, you lack faith. They were kind of similar.
Right.
You know, the rabbis often thought if you were sick or if you had, you know, paralyzed or you're blind, that God was cursed you because you did some sin.
Right.
And Jesus totally blew that out of the water.
Yes, he did.
Sometimes God allows sickness.
Right.
For many reasons, to glorify him.
Yes, he does.
People have a hard time realizing that.
They do. They do. But he does. He does use that to help people realize that he's in control.
The ultimate example of Jesus from the Bible of suffering and glory for God is Jesus himself dying on the cross.
Absolutely.
A horrific death.
Horrific death. It was awful.
So he says, "Son of man." Why do you think he said that? Son of man, authority to forgive sin. Well, I think when you look at this, it's a statement from Daniel chapter 7, 13 through 14.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that he's necessarily a perfect man or common man, although he is.
He is.
This is a statement of his deity.
Right.
It's a statement that he is the coming, he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And through this, we see that God, Jesus, is not just a man, but he is God.
Right.
And it says down here, all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this before."
I'm sure they hadn't.
You know, if Jesus did not heal this man, we wouldn't have this story today.
You're right.
We wouldn't even have Jesus today. He would not have probably been a paragraph in history.
Right.
But the very fact we have this story, the very fact that we have this in the gospel, Mark, tells us that Jesus is real.
Amen.
Jesus is true, and Jesus is the Son of God.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Absolutely. I think this is great. This is one of my favorite stories. I just like to picture it in my mind to think about, you know, them tearing up the roof and lowering him down, everybody freaking out. And then those religious leaders, scribes, you know, him reading their minds. It's just so, so cool just to have been there. I can't even imagine.
Do I think in eternity someday God is going to replay history?
Oh, that'll be cool. We'll get to see it. Yeah, like a little movie.
I mean, I don't know this for fact.
It'll be cool, though.
I think it'll be like a movie and replay our lives as well as the history of the world.
Oh, yeah. That'll be cool. I want to see Daniel in the Lion's Den.
That should be interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Think of all the stories. You know, Elijah, you know, with the
Mount
Carmel. Woo, my brain's out there. Yeah. Can you imagine seeing that, being there to see that happen and the rocks being burned up, the burning bush? Oh my goodness. So many cool things that we hopefully will get to see. That'll be neat.
And this isn't the only miracle of physical illness of Jesus. I mean, Jesus healed a whole village.
Yes, he did.
Thousands.
Yes, he did.
We only have some recorded in the Gospels.
Right.
But he resurrected Lazarus and he resurrected a little girl.
Right.
He healed a woman that had been bleeding for 12 years.
Right.
And I mean, he healed a blind man. But most importantly, he can heal you. If you're listening to this, Jesus can heal your sin. He can forgive you by believing that he died for you and rose from the dead. And he can definitely take a mess, turn it into a message for his glory, for your good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Goodbye.